The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Back in 2015, my wife and I, along with our friends Jake and Tabby, had been planning this hike trip for many weeks. We all worked together, and it was rare for us to get a long weekend off at the same time, given that we all have such drastically different jobs. So when the opportunity finally came, we jumped at it, and the plan was to head out early Saturday morning and spend the entire day exploring the wilderness. We'd mapped out a trail that promised stunning views, and we were all eager to disconnect from the world for a while. The drive to the trailhead was peaceful. The sun was just starting to rise, so the entire drive had this very amazing orange color, and we were laughing, swapping stories, and enjoying the early start. But as soon as we arrived at the trailhead, our excitement took a hit. The sky darkened almost instantly, and within minutes, it started to downpour. It was raining so hard that you couldn't even see anything in front of you. We hoped it was just a passing shower and decided to wait it out in the car. We'd already made the drive there. We weren't about to turn around and drive home already. The rain pounded against the roof and the windows fogged up with our breath. It wasn't the start that we'd imagined, but we were determined to make the best of it. And after about 20 minutes, the rain let up, leaving behind a very misty and overcast day.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
We debated whether that we should continue the hike, but the trail was calling us, and we didn't want to waste any time. So we grabbed our gear and headed out. We didn't get very far before the rain started again, this time even harder. It was like someone had turned on a faucet, and we were drenched within seconds. We ran back to the car, laughing and cursing at the same time, trying to shield ourselves from the downpour. But as we reached the car, we saw something that made us all stop in our tracks. Standing next to the SUV was a young woman. She was soaked to the bone, and her clothes clinging to her thin frame were like rags. She looked like she had been through hell, and her hair was matted and her face was covered with seemingly dirt. And at first I thought maybe I was seeing things because of the rain, but no. She was definitely real and standing directly next to my car. Even more creepy was that she appeared to be looking into the windows. Now, without even thinking, I shouted something out like, "Hey, get away from my car!" That was more out of fear than anything else. It was instinctive, and I just felt like I had this rush of adrenaline that was telling me something wasn't quite right. She didn't move, though. She stood there, staring at us with these very hollow eyes. She had that look like a deer gives you in the middle of the woods when they're just sort of standing there like statues. Before I could let out another angry scream, my wife held me back and said to me in a very concerned voice to wait and hold on. She even said that she looked kind of hurt. Now Jake and Tabby were silent, unsure of what to do. I didn't want to let this stranger into our car, but I couldn't ignore the fact that she might be in serious trouble. And so against my better judgment, we all piled into the SUV, with a woman sitting behind the front passenger seat and my wife in the middle seat in the back trying to comfort this woman. The car was cramped, the windows fogged up again from the sudden influx of bodies, and you could just feel the tension in the car. It went from a fun hiking trip to now dealing with a strange and potentially hurt woman in the middle of nowhere. The woman didn't say much. In fact, she didn't say anything at all. And she just sat there, shivering and staring straight ahead. My wife thought that she looked like she was maybe in shock, and she started to assume the worst. The woman had makeup running all down her cheeks and was impossible to tell if that was from the rain or crying, and we tried to ask her where she was from and what had happened to her, but she didn't respond. I kept glancing at her in the rearview mirror trying to read her expressions, but there was nothing there, just this sort of vacant look. The lights were on, but clearly nobody was home. Jake suggested that we should get her to the nearest gas station and call for help, and we all agreed. There was no cell service out here, so that was our best option. I started the car and we headed down this muddy road. The windshield wipers were working overtime to keep the rain at bay. Now, I know it's easy to say this now, but something just still wasn't sitting right with me. I know this was a tense situation, but that's not what bothered me. The way she just sort of appeared out of nowhere, her silence, with the way she didn't seem to be fazed by the cold or the rain, that's what bothered me. It was clear to me that this woman had issues, and it was impossible to tell if she was dangerous or just truly shaken up about something. I could tell my wife and friends were trying to stay calm, but I could feel the discomfort they all felt, especially Tabby. We were about 2 minutes from the gas station when the woman suddenly started to scream. And not just a little scream, but it was a loud, high-pitched, guttural sound that startled me so badly that I started to lose control of the car. She thrashed around in the back seat, hitting the windows and the seats, making it impossible for me to regain control of the vehicle. I tried my best to at least keep the SUV on the road, but the road was slick, and before I knew it, the car veered off the road and into a ditch. The car now having come to a sudden stop, and for a moment, everything was silent except for the pounding of the rain. We were all trying to catch our breath, trying to make sense of what just happened. But then the woman just starts cackling. It was this cold, empty laugh that was kind of bringing us back to reality. She was howling in laughter. I had a minor scrape on my forehead from hitting my head on the steering wheel, but everyone else appeared to be physically okay. And before anyone else could say anything, Jake just shouted at her, "What the hell is wrong with you?" And this woman's insane laughter came to some abrupt end. She pulled out a small blade from the inside of her shirt. It looked like a box cutter from where I was sitting. She put her left elbow into my wife's neck and then held the blade with her right hand to Tabby's neck. She said, "Give me all your money now." It was one of the most unsettling parts about this nightmare that was unfolding. It was that there was no trace of fear in her voice, only a sick sort of satisfaction. And we didn't argue. We just threw down whatever cash or whatever else we had, as we were all too scared to do anything else. My wife started crying. Jake was cursing under his breath, and I was just trying to keep it together for everyone. The woman grabbed the money, opened the car door, and just started sprinting into the rain without looking back. We sat there in silence with only the back seat door open, and after a few seconds I started the car again, and my wife closed the door and we drove the rest of the way to the gas station. We reported this incident, but by then, obviously, this crazy woman was long gone. The police took our statements, but it was clear that they didn't expect to find her. To this day, I have no idea who that woman was or where she came from. I thought maybe she was a meth addict or something, and I remember for a while after that I was looking up crimes in the area, but I never found anything that even remotely fit that description. All I know is that we were lucky to get out of that situation alive. This was one of the worst experiences of my life, and even though I was happy to get out physically unharmed, I still think about it, and it makes me sick knowing that somewhere out there, that wild woman is most likely terrorizing someone else.
Hey guys, thanks so much for all the support. If you haven't subscribed to the channel yet, please feel free to do so.
Do we always go camping? Why do I have to go there for the school trip too? Please, Mom, I want to stay at home and play video games for once.
I whined, following around my mom, who is busy doing house chores.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Your school manipulated me into paying your camping fees. There's no way I'm going to let you go in vain, she said in a strict voice while loading clothes into the washing machine. But Mom, no buts. You're going there. End of conversation. Now move along. I have plenty of work on my hands. She walked off after finishing her sentence, and I couldn't help but helplessly sigh. I was never fond of things like camping trips and wilderness, but since this was the only idea of fun my family ever came up with every single holiday break, I had no other choice but to attend it. What crossed the limit when even my school organized the very same thing I had grown tired of, and my mom being a pushover handed the money to Miss Sandra, who was the teacher in charge of this trip. Now she was pushing me to go there. Finally, the day arrived. And after dropping me off at school with my luggage, Mom went to work. I wanted to run off right then and there, but I don't see why I hesitated. My friends Paul and Robert spotted me, and as they were coming to me, I could see their faces beaming up looking at how I was finally tagging along after clearly telling them that I didn't want to go. We went to the bus, and after putting our bags down, we took our seats. We reached the campsite at noon, and after having lunch, the teacher started with the activities they had planned. But the things they were making us do was utterly boring, as I had already grown tired of them after doing all of them multiple times with my cousins. Things took a turn when they made us do a scavenger hunt right before sunset. They hid cooking items around the area and gave each team the task of searching for them and making food for the team. The one who was to finish their meal first would be the winner. During the hunt, two kids, Marcus and Luca, from different teams, came across the same item. Arguments started about who got there first, while none of them let the other party take it. As the commotion grabbed my attention, I stopped whatever I was doing and went there to see what was going on. I stood there watching the small argument turn into a heated one, without any intention of stepping forward and stopping them, as this seemed to be the only interesting thing about the entire trip. Marcus's hair ended up in Luca's fist, and he said something that I couldn't quite understand, which pissed him off. Within a matter of time, the fight turned violent, and each one of them was eating dirt by the other's hand. By the time teachers and the rest of the kids took notice, they have started bleeding from their noses, along with multiple bruises on their bodies. They were immediately taken inside of one of the tents and got first aid treatment. I don't think any of the kids knew half as much as I did after all those trips with my family. Otherwise, they wouldn't have done something as foolish as this. Camping was no easy thing for those who haven't done it before, and having those injuries was only going to make it worse for the rest of the trip for those two. I was determined to not give a damn about whatever transpired around me, so I shrugged it off and went back to getting bored. After such a brutal fight, one might think they were done with each other and might have probably learned their lesson, but that wasn't the case at all. It was when we were taking a dip in the lake when Marcus and Lucas started a speech fight again, but stopped after receiving a scolding from the teacher, and she gave them another warning before heading to the camping area for something. About half an hour had already passed since I had started to swim, so I followed her to the camping area and got into my tent to change into a new pair of clothes. When I got out of the tent, I saw Miss Sandra setting up the food on the mat. "Isaac, can you be a deer and the other kids for lunch? The food's prepared?" I nodded my head in response as she noticed me looking in the direction and asked me. Following her order, I went ahead and started calling the scattered kids one by one. When I got back, I noticed everyone was present near the mat except for Marcus and Luca. Something felt off. I remembered I last saw them swimming in the lake, but not after that. My eyes met with Miss Sandra, and judging by her expression, she was thinking the same as me. We both ran toward the lake and started looking for them when I found a panicked Marcus hiding behind a tree near the lake, but there was no sign of Luca. As he saw us, he started crying and pointing toward the lake where Luca was last swimming along with repeating his name. This was the first time I felt thankful for all those trips and adventures with my family that taught me so many things. I immediately ran in that direction and dived upon reaching. Luckily, I found him drowning, and since he hadn't gotten too deep yet, I was able to pull him out. The teacher immediately started compressing his chest and performing CPR, and after a few failed attempts, he threw up a lot of water along with coughing. Since he was in urgent need of medical attention, she drove him to the nearest hospital she knew of, leaving us in the care of Mr. Goodman. Marcus confessed to him later on that they started to argue again, and when Luca slapped him, he got so angry that he started beating him in the water. He couldn't understand if his foot slipped or something else, but in the middle of the grapple, Luca started drowning. He didn't say anything after that and just started crying again, so none of us knows if he tried to save him or ran away after getting panicked. The trip ended there, and we were brought back home safely. I immediately rushed to tell Mom about everything that went on the trip, which made me scared for her, and she promised never to send me off to another school trip. I don't know about that. I mean, whatever happened was horrifying indeed, and I'm thankful that Luca is safe now. But for some reason, this was the most memorable and unique camping trip I had experienced.
My friends and I went on a camping trip for 3 days in the desert last fall, 2019. We went out to hike, explore, and go shooting where we could without posing danger to anyone else. There were about 7 of us in total, and of those 7, myself and 2 others are emergency medical professionals. We'll call my 2 EMS friends A and E. We set up camp near the road in an area that had an embankment that would make for a good and safe range. The first day and night went well. However, I remember, as the sun was setting, a truck slowly drove by with a large trailer in tow. Normally this wouldn't catch my eye, but I noticed the cargo, though covered, didn't look like it could be any sort of camping gear, and the truck bed was empty. The 2 men in the cab of the vehicle and I locked eyes as they passed. I gave a friendly wave and a smile, but they just stared at me, emotionless. After a moment, they both turned away and floored it out of sight, trailer rumbling in suit. I didn't think much of it at the time, so just went about my business for the night until bedtime. My second day was full of more hiking and shooting. We stopped at around dusk as to not disturb other nearby campers with loud gunfire. As darkness fell, we made our bonfire and cracked open a beer and just talked for quite some time. Amid the conversation, I saw a slight reddish glow drop behind a nearby hill and vanish. I brought it up with the group and asked, "Did anyone else see that?" No one else had seen what I did, so I excused it as mistaking it as an ember from the fire. Around 10 minutes go by and I see it again, except it was high in the sky and deeper into the desert. "It's a flare," said one of the group. "An emergency flare, maybe," I added. We decided that if we see another one go off, some of us would go see if there was anyone in need of help, as we brought advanced medical supplies. A few minutes go by, and sure enough, we spot another flare, a little bit west of where the last one was seen. We made a plan, A, E, myself, and another one of our friends who we'll call Jay, and we would venture out in A's truck to find whoever needed help. Now, certain areas of the desert we were in has been used by cartels as hidden transport routes before, so we also brought some of our firearms just in case we needed to protect ourselves from an attack. We loaded up our medical equipment, hopped into the truck, and began driving out, leaving the others to keep watch if whoever needed help came to the camp. We headed in the direction of the last flare seen, windows rolled down, listening for calls for help, as well as announcing that if someone was in distress, they should call out to us. Continuing on, another flare shot up further west than the last, illuminating the rocky hills in a dim red hue. I called out the direction, and we found a small dried ravine that we could use as passage. We turned down the dark ravine and drove for some time, the only light being that of the truck, which only seemed to make the overwhelming darkness that much more imposing. All while calling out but hearing nothing in return, another flare came up close by, but still too far to see anyone. We continued forward until we hit the end of the ravine, which led to somewhat of a natural cul-de-sac surrounding by rocky hills on three sides. We hopped out and searched the area for a bit with our flashlights. We yelled out again, but no one responded. It was empty, but we could have sworn this was where it came from. After searching a bit more to be thorough, we decided to check another area down the main road. The end of the ravine was tight for the truck, but there was just enough room to make a U-turn. Jay and I decided to hop in the truck bed for the search so we could see more than what the back seat would allow.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
As we turned out, a large cloud of dust and gravel hit me with a loud accompanying hiss.
What the F just happened? Yelled A.
Think you blew a tire there, buddy, I replied.
We hopped out and inspected and found that his rear passenger side tire had blown, but I noticed something a bit off. The blow was on the wall of the tire and clean, not on the bottom and jagged as would be if it hit a sharp rock. I brought up how suspicious that was, but they reasoned that it must have just been a larger sharp stone. As they got to work replacing the tire with the spare, I stood watch. There was some difficulty with changing the wheel. The tire iron bent, and so did one of the lug nuts. As they worked, I heard something approach me quickly from the darkness. I immediately turned and drew my pistol, turning the light towards the sound. A large rock had rolled down one of the jagged hills to my right and stopped about 10 feet from me. I shone my light up to the top. I didn't see anything but some small rocks and gravel still tumbling down the slope. I almost laughed at how I reacted, but then another rock began tumbling down towards me, a few feet away from the same area. I shined my light again, but saw no one. I became a bit paranoid. Those rocks were too big to be moved by any animal, and they both came from the same direction. I relayed the information to my friends, but they blew it off, saying I was getting too paranoid. I agreed that was a possibility, but I never let my guard down. My gut feeling was telling me something was wrong. I was on edge the whole time, even thinking to myself that the flares might be some kind of trap or lure. In the meantime, we were cracking jokes about our luck.
"Hey, this situation sucks, but I'm glad I'm in it with y'all," said A, and the feeling was mutual.
My buddies had just finished up replacing the tire when yet another flare rocketed off in the sky near the ravine entrance we took and fell back down to earth nearby. We called out as we loaded back up into the truck, but once more, we were met with silence. We drove back down to the beginning of the trail and saw no one. We began to doubt if anyone was in trouble and if it was just some dumb kids playing around with a flare gun, which is illegal to misuse. With that said, we weren't going to give up that easily. We began driving deeper into the desert on the main road when another flare was spotted. This one was what puzzled us. Up until then, they were all in roughly the same area. This one was way further northwest of the last one.
"How are they all the way over there now?" I wondered. "If these are some idiot teens doing this, we needed to tell them that they can't just go off causing worry like that. It's really irresponsible," said E.
We did agree that if that's the case, we should talk to them and their parents. We don't take emergencies lightly. We pushed on towards the last seen light, which led us to something that puzzled us even more. We arrived at a dark campsite surrounded by two hills. The headlights revealed two tents, scattered belongings, and an old fire pit. We exited the vehicle and began our approach on foot, but something was wrong. The tents were unoccupied, but still had a load of gear inside and out, and the fire pit was clearly stomped out with coals just barely glowing. It looked like it was quickly abandoned. Even if they went hiking or out on a walk, they left their equipment, shoes, packs, everything. As I searched, I found an even more unsettling sight. Shotgun shells. 12-gauge, and they weren't old. They had to have been fired recently. There was no dust on them. Even after half a day in the desert, they'd be covered in dirt carried by the wind, and they still smelled of gunpowder. I showed my buddies and they agreed this was too odd. We later found deep tire marks, like someone left in a hurry. And that's when I saw it. It was an ominous orange glow coming from over the north hill that overlooked the abandoned campsite. I asked E to accompany me to go check it out. As we ascended the hill, we heard a small noise grow louder and louder. Once we reached the top, we looked down into a barren valley to see what I couldn't make out at first.
"What's that?"
asked E. I didn't answer him at first as I was focused on what was before us. Roughly 50 yards away, there was a large circle of dark figures in hoods and robes, arms stretched to their sides, and all of them vocalizing in a low chant. In the center was a wide ring of fire, and in the center of the flames, revealed by the fire's light, was an immensely large black pyramid frame. I mean, this thing was giant. A bit off behind the group, the truck and trailer I saw earlier with some other vehicles.
"I think it's a cult," I replied.
As I spoke those words, the chanting stopped, and the group of what must have been 50 people all turned towards us in silence. At that moment, I realized I never turned off my flashlight. They all raised their arms once more and let out a horrifying and loud wail. First just one, and then they all began to join in until the sound was overtaking my own thoughts.
"We gotta get the F out of here now,"
I told E in a hushed but anxious tone. We turned and booked it down the hill.
"Start the truck,"
E yelled. A&J looked at us confused and almost amused.
"Why is that?"
chuckled A.
"It's a cult, and they know we're here,"
I explained out of breath. A&J could see that we weren't playing, and so he ushered us into the truck and we hauled it out and back to camp. As we got back onto the main road, something happened that made A&J fully believe us and confirm my suspicions about the flares. From every hill along the main road, flares shot up into the sky from all sides, illuminating the desert around us, either a warning or a threat. As we would drive, more and more would fly above us, encompassing the sky above until we got far enough away and the flares fell and faded behind us. We got back and explained everything to the rest of camp, happy to be back with our lives. They looked as though they didn't fully believe it, but they also knew we wouldn't just make something up like this. We speculated that that was either some kind of lure or a warning system for the cult. We slept close that night and kept firearms nearby. When we awoke, we cleaned up and got ready to leave. I was clearing debris from the range when I stumbled onto something that wasn't there before. A small wooden pyramid frame, charred black and still smoldering. I called attention to it and we promptly left. We got back and went on with our lives. I think back to this event every now and then, and I'm thankful that my friends and I weren't harmed, and I hope the owners of that abandoned camp were able to escape unscathed. I have no idea what that cult was or who those people were. I have no clue if they were a legitimate cult or just some people trying to prank campers. I'm fortunate that I've not had any other run-ins like this, but I now know there are some strange people in that desert.
Now, I have a story to share that has really traumatized me for quite a while now, and I feel this is a good place to share it. So I'm from New Zealand, and over there we have the odd missing person or scary murder case, but it's otherwise safe here and not much goes on. I mean that in a way that as a 19-year-old girl, I feel comfortable to walk the streets at night or go on hikes alone, and everyone looks out for one another generally. This happened in the summer of 2019, and my boyfriend and I were headed out on a picnic date to a spot we had visited many times before, called Karakariki Track. It's at the end of a very long, windy and rural farm road, off of the state highway. So you drive for about 15 to 20 minutes from the main road down a long farm stretch, and at the end is a large cul-de-sac and a massive surrounding farm. The owners of the farm have left the land kind of open to the public as a reserve, because there are native trees and other things, and because about a 15-minute walk from the cul-de-sac car park, there's a small waterfall you can go swimming in. The track is really popular, as it's one of the closest swimming spots to the nearest city, which is Hamilton, and it's really scenic and beautiful. You can cross footbridges and pass by creek beds, etc., and the farmers still go through every now and then to do their work, but there are fenced-off areas that the public can't enter to, as they still actively work the land. So this particular day, my boyfriend and I were really happy, because the parking lot was empty and it was a super hot summer's day, which was really rare. We saw the farmer crossing with his cows through the gate on a quad as we arrived, and he smiled and waved at us. He was an older man, and we had spoken before as we were regular visitors. So we set off towards the waterfall, and crossed one footbridge and passed through a big paddock of cows. Now the track is quite narrow, and the creek is right next to it down a bank, so you have to be careful. We saw the waterfall, decided against swimming as we had no towels, and headed back towards the car park. On our way back, we decided to go down a little bit of a steep gravel off-ramp from the track that led to a more private tree-covered area right by the creek. We were kissing and whatnot, and I was laying on my tummy, reading a book, as my boyfriend was sitting up playing on his phone, rubbing my back and playing with my hair. We were there for about 10 minutes before I turned and glanced up the gravel path. Way up, even further on a hill, through one of the farmer's gates, I saw a big man on a quad bike who I didn't recognize as one of the farmers, as there's only an old couple who work the land. But he was just sitting there, staring at my boyfriend and I. I don't even want to think about how long he had been there before we'd noticed, so I told my boyfriend what I could see, making him turn to look too. As soon as the guy saw we were both looking at him, he opened the gate and started heading down towards us. We immediately got up to leave, as we didn't want to have a conversation with a farmer about us getting freaky on his land, which is what we both assumed would happen. But it was so much worse. This guy came down the gravel track and ran his quad right through the creek. He then left it there running in the water and got off. He was talking to himself, saying things along the lines of, "Ah, I've messed my quad," and "I've damaged my engine," over and over before he even got anywhere near us. My boyfriend and I were gathering our things to leave at this point, when he began to head towards us. He didn't even make small talk, which was really strange, because he went straight into saying, "Have you guys seen any fish? I'm looking for some fish to kill." My boyfriend told the guy that there was no fish in the creek as it's fresh water, and that he was probably best off to catch some eel. This sent him into a fit, and he said, "I don't want no effing eel. I want to kill some fish." I had made it a point not to look the guy in the eyes, as I didn't want to draw the conversation towards myself, because I was already extremely freaked out and didn't want him to notice. My boyfriend was much more of the calm and strong one when it came to stuff like this. But for a second I did look at the guy, and I thought it looked like his face was slightly deformed. I thought maybe Bell's palsy. As I work in aged care, I've seen it a bit and it looked similar. I bent down to tie my shoelace, and as I stood back up, that's when I noticed a pistol on this man's waist. Now listen to me closely. This is the first and last time in my entire life I have ever seen a real-life gun, as it's incredibly hard to get a firearm in New Zealand, especially after the regulations following the mass shooting in Christchurch. And not only that, he had one pistol on his belt and was waving another one about in his hand as he talked to my boyfriend about wanting to kill some fish. He was aiming it down to the creek every now and again, then swinging it around on his finger. My boyfriend gave me this stern look, and stern is the best word for it, because the look spoke a million words to me in that moment, and he nodded his head towards the gravel hill leading back to the track. I grabbed the two bags we had, fake-checked my phone, and told the man that our family were waiting for us back at the car park. He completely ignored what I had said, though, and instead said, "That's a cool hat you've got on," or something along those lines that were completely irrelevant. So I dismissed myself, said goodbye, and made my way to the hill. In my mind, I didn't want to look back and see that my boyfriend had been shot and then a gun at my own head. I knew that our best bet was me getting up this hill onto the narrow path where he couldn't ride his quad and sprint towards the farmer's house. As I was walking up the hill, this guy said to my boyfriend, "That's a really pretty girl you've got there." It was like all the intentions of his that I didn't want to believe were just then confirmed. I actually felt like I was going to die. My boyfriend, though, said a quick, "Thank you, we'll be off now," and headed up the hill with me. The guy kept talking, though, like the conversation hadn't ended, even as we headed away. He just stood there, gun in hand, and watched us leave. As soon as we were around the corner, we sprinted all the way back to the car park, where there were over 10 empty gun shells. We hadn't noticed this before. We had run into two girls in bikinis arriving at the spot, and informed them about the guy and everything that had just happened, so they got in their cars and left immediately. We tried to go to the farmer's house to ask if he knew the guy, as we'd never seen him on the land before. But they weren't home anymore. And as for the gun, it's still really freaky to me, as I'd never seen one before.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
But the pistols the guy had looked quite old and rusty. And when we discussed the incident on the way home, my boyfriend suggested they were probably handed down to him from someone else. This incident has stuck with me for the past few years, and my boyfriend and I have not been able to return to that spot again, which really sucks, because that's where we had our first date, and it meant a lot to us. I had to drive past the road leading to the track for about a year too, as I commuted between towns, and it always made me feel sick. I could have lost my life or my partner that day, or so much worse. And I'm always extremely grateful that my boyfriend is the man that he is, and was able to steer the guy away from us for us to leave. To communicate to me through movement to tell me what to do in my freaked-out state, too. He told me afterwards that he was ready to die if he had to, because knowing the guy had been watching us beforehand, and complimented me in the way that he did, was clear that he could have had some scary intentions. It's also made me way more fearful now to travel in the bush alone, which I've done my whole life.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Looking for a little Hollywood style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.